welcome everyone.
You go live watching on our These My Pants.
Live on the Facebook. We are talking about pants. No, this is, at least in this incarnation, Story on the Spot. If you are seeing this as part of a series in the future, it might not have the same name. Who knows? I am Jim Heskett, as you can tell by the little name.
Wait, I have a story idea. Do I just talk now?
Shh. I'm also here with, going clockwise from what I can see, Nick Thacker, R.A. McGee, and Kevin Tomlinson. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Let me explain what we are doing here. Actually, I wrote a little thing, so I should just read it since I read
it. If it doesn't end with the points don't matter, I'm not playing.
Points are everything. Welcome to Story on the Spot, a grand experiment where four thriller authors come together in an improv-style storytelling session. I will present random news articles with no politics to these three authors with me, and they will each have about 60 seconds to sketch out a story based on the article. Then each person will have a chance to pitch their version of the story, and points will be awarded based on the best story. Which author will win the day? And you, person watching this on Facebook, you feel free to throw comments underneath this if you want to vote for which stories you like, and maybe we'll consider that. Maybe we won't. Okay, we ready to go?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right.
I'm as ready as Nick will ever be.
All right, look inside.
Not very ready.
Okay. So, Florida man arrested twice in 2 days for impersonating police officer. So, start. Officials said the 60-year-old suspect pretended to be a cop in order to avoid paying a $2 bridge toll. A Florida man is back in jail for impersonating a law enforcement officer just days after he was arrested for the exact same charge, sheriff's officials said. And FYI, they're not all Florida stories, but a few of them are. Okay. Leroy Stottlemyre, 60, was arrested March 11 after investigators got a tip from a toll bridge attendant who showed them video of the man flashing a law enforcement badge twice on March 11 to avoid paying a $2 toll. On-duty officers are allowed to cross free of charge, officials said. A toll booth attendant told investigators that Stottlemyre flashed the silver badge at him, and he in turn showed the man an article about his arrest for impersonating an officer. He said Stottlemyre then put away the badge and paid the toll. That's about 60 seconds. So is anybody ready to go? Who's got our first story idea?
How are we framing this? Like, just start riffing on... It could be this. Maybe we should do this kind of thing or what?
Just launch. If you were going to write a story based on this news article.
All right. I have an idea. Go ahead, Ari.
No. You first, brother.
I'll be the sacrificial lamb. Okay. So I'm thinking this would be a decoy move on the part of someone. They're doing this badge flashing thing, and they know it's going to get them attention because it happened before. So I think this guy's got a plot, something set in motion that he wants to distract the law enforcement from so that he can commit and get away with a crime. And since he's done this once before and it was in the news, he knows it'll get attention and he knows it'll establish an alibi for him. So he has set this up. He's got something planned, maybe a murder, possibly some sort of maybe a terrorist act or something, but something planned that he needs to distance himself from so that he is not a suspect. And what better way than a goofy Florida man article?
All right. So it's a diversion. Who wants to go next?
Well, you know, I was thinking, have we considered that he might be a time traveler? Okay. Because if we know anything from Terminator, when you come back in time, you come back naked. Well, if you're naked, you don't have any money. You know what I mean? So maybe my man is trying to stop a 12 Monkeys type plot. He's just trying to get where he's going, right? And the toll booth operator won't let him go. She's hot, hassling him for money. He got the cop suit at the daggum rent-a-cop store. You know what I mean?
But he had no money.
Because he was he stole.
But he had a badge.
No. He's in the suit, man. You know, he's just trying to go stop an apocalypse, and she's hassling him for $2, man.
Okay. So as Kevin pointed out, there's some holes there, but it's a pretty good start.
There are always holes with time travel.
I'm in.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to go with aliens. No, I'm just kidding. My idea is that the cop is actually an undercover agent working for one of the acronym organizations federally. And he is actually trying to get some real-time data from this toll booth because they have found, they being the organization he works for, some covert operation that he can't even admit to working for, has found that an offshore bank account in the Cayman Islands is starting to pile up with tiny bits of change, sort of like Office Space style, where just the percentages of a penny are being shaved off and put into a bank. And it's every time somebody goes through this toll booth is his idea that somebody is actually in the system. Somebody who put the toll booth together is actually funneling money away. And he's trying to figure out exactly how that's happening. And so he's got to get some on the ground information.
I like that. I have it. To ask Jim.
Is well, that's this the right answer, by the way. I mean, I know
the right answer.
Yeah, I know the guy. Ding, ding.
So I didn't get to, I didn't tune in early enough to get the rules, but do we have to incorporate the exact story or can it just inspire the riff?
I think you go wherever it takes you. I mean,
all right.
This story featured a man, and I have a story idea about a man. Also,
I have some story ideas about men with badges. So,
wait, with badges or what did you say?
With badges.
Oh, badges. Okay.
With badges.
So I guess the question is just how to award
the point, Packer.
How to award the point? Does the point get awarded just to the story we think is the best one? Because that's clearly RA's, even though it's full of holes.
Wow.
Well, let's ask the folks watching.
Do we award the point based on the one that most closely mirrors what the story actually is? Or does it even matter?
Let's go to the fan.
I think it's just a matter of, I think if we can get the people watching to say, I liked, you know, one, two, or three, then they can have their own criteria for why they voted for it.
All right. We'll have to wait 20 seconds for the results to come in.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. All right. Cool. So let's go ahead and move on. I am tentatively awarding the point to Mr. McGee.
Thank you, sir.
Well, then I'm reusing my story.
Okay, here we go.
I feel robbed for having gone first now.
Okay, story number two. Teen wrestling champ squashes kidnapping by squashing the suspect. I'm using my announcer voice now. Authorities said Kanan Bauer, 16, helped stop a kidnapping and assault near Las Cruces, New Mexico, by pinning a man to the ground until deputies arrived. That's a little too much. I'm going to pull it back. A 16-year-old wrestling champion helped stop a kidnapping and assault near Las Cruces, New Mexico, by pinning a man to the ground until deputies arrived. Mayfield High School student Kanan Bauer, pretty metal name, was being lauded as a hero after controlling suspect Daniel Arroyo Beltran, 22, of Phoenix. Dona Ana County deputies arrested Beltran Wednesday, it's the third day of the week, after witnesses told authorities he tried to kidnap three children at a gas station. The mother told authorities that she got off a bus stop with her children, ages 9, 2, and 1, and was waiting for an Uber driver to arrive when a man grabbed her 2-year-old child and demanded the woman turn over her children, et cetera, et cetera. Witnesses told authorities that the man punched the woman and others who tried to intervene before the woman was able to rush inside the store with her children. Witnesses said the attacker followed, continuing his demands.
All right. I got one. Okay, so what's the guy who the wrestler, what's his name?
Kanan Bauer.
Kanan Bauer. So, Jack Bauer's nephew. This is 24, so, part two.
Here's the thriller. It's actually a psychological thriller. And the woman and her three children got off the bus to find not two, but one man, Kanan, standing there, who we find out at the end of the book is actually schizophrenic and sees, like, has multiple personality disorder. And basically, he's the one who kidnaps the kid. Tries to kidnap the kid, and then his other split personality tries to wrestle himself to the ground so that he, the other Kanan, doesn't kidnap the people. And it's got a whole Fight Club thing there with naming the other personality with another name and all that, but turns out it's just one person involved the entire time.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Wow. All right. So it's a little Tyler Durden there. Who wants to go next?
All right. So, I think maybe it's a domestic assault type of situation. Like, I think the guy on the ground is Kanan's long lost dad. All right.
Okay.
Kanan's dad went out and got some lotto tickets a long time ago. All right. Kanan's just doing his thing, man. He's hanging out at McDonald's. He's doing his thing. He looks over, and who does he see at the gas station? It's his dad, his dad's new mom, and the kids. And Kanan lost it. We're pretending like Kanan's a hero here, but I think he just went and beat up his dad because he saw dad's new family. And let's be honest, what 16-year-old who's all gassed up in Las Cruces who knows how to wrestle would handle that very well, okay? I don't think he handled it well. That's all I'm saying. I'm not mad at Kanan, but I think maybe it was a domestic type of situation, and maybe we shouldn't be too excited about Kanan at this point.
Well, maybe he'll have a chance to redeem himself in the third act. Maybe there'll be a chance where his dad is in danger late in the story, and Kanan has a chance to rescue his father, thus making up for beating the crap out of him in the parking lot.
That sounds good, man. I like redemption. I like a solid redemption arc for both.
I think we're giving Kanan short shrift here, man. I'm picturing a story called Hero of the Hour, and it actually ends up revealing the present.
Wait, did you give your name? Did you give your story a title already?
I just titled it. I've already signed the cover.
That's solid.
I've written the book.
Give him the point.
He's got his thumbs going down. You can't even see him. He's typing the book.
Hero of the Hour. And we end up revealing that there is a serial killer who scans newspaper headlines and looks for people who do heroic things, everyday people. And so he basically does a sort of, what was the movie where Saw? He does a sort of Saw thing. So, or maybe almost like, what's the one with the bus?
Steel Magnolias.
That. Speed. So Speed. So he basically, he does something like kidnaps a family member or something of the hero. And this so-called hero has to go through a series of things and rescue their family member or the person they care about or whatever, through a whole, process of attacks and things that are happening all around him. And if he survives, the serial killer supposedly will let things go. And our hero, our this young kid, is going through this, and we'll have to see him confront the bad guy at some point at the end of the story.
Mm. It's like Speed and the Game.
Speed meets Steel Magnolias.
Spain.
If you like Speed and Steel Magnolias, you will love this story.
Speed Magnolias. Hey, Lisa Badger says story one goes to moi, and story two, well, she typo. She meant NT for number two as well, but she put K.
for number two. Good old number two.
All right.
You know, joke's on her. Kevin and I are going to co-write all these anyway. So
I've already started most of these.
Okay,
All your suggestions are belong to me now.
Story number three.
Story number three.
You guys ready?
Story number three.
Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos may be restoring Colombia's ecosystem. Researchers said the creatures could be filling the biological role once played by extinct animals like giant llamas. Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar left a legacy of crime and violence in his country, but his most lasting influence may be on the environment. Well, not Escobar exactly, but a group of nearly 80 hippos descended from the four he owned that were set free after his death in 93. Although the so-called cocaine hippos have been accused of wreaking havoc on the local ecosystem, a new study suggests that the invasive animals may also restore ecological functions lost for thousands of years due to human-driven extinctions. In other words, it seems that large herbivores like the hippos in Colombia are playing a biological role similar to that of mammoths, sloths, and wombats during the late Pleistocene period, about 116 to 12,000 years ago. All right, cocaine hippos. Who's got a story?
Cocaine hippos. There's a title right there. Although I would call this Pablo and the Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Wow. I think we're done here. Just
story. Mic chop. I'm not going to go first this time because I went first the first time. So I think it's RA's turn to go first.
So all I can think about is some kind of Michael Crichton esque situation, you know? Like, what if you mix like
folks say Crichton?
Oh, sorry. I've never heard that word in the wild before. So that's totally on me. And so I'm thinking like maybe that's just his goal, man. He wants to use the hippos and he gets them all gassed up on coke and they're just gonna repopulate the earth. And maybe it's some kind of terrible like PETA plot or something. I got nothing for cocaine hippos, guys. You know, I gotta be honest with you.
I'll just put it right to itself.
No, Kevin, you know? You gotta go. I haven't gone last yet. You gotta go now.
You haven't gone last yet. Okay.
Nick's working on the title. You gotta give him time.
Yeah, I gotta come up with a good title here.
I'm thinking fast forward 1,000 years. Enough time we start seeing some evolutionary twists and turns. And the hippos, that they are hyped up on cocaine, right? That was part of the story, right?
I think that's urban legend.
They were just part of his menagerie or something.
For them or something. Yeah.
All right. But yeah.
Dude, if you're a hippo in Pablo Escobar's menagerie, you're definitely on cocaine.
You're probably on cocaine.
Right. I think Pablo Escobar's menagerie is the name of this story. Fast forward 1,000 years and we are starting to see genetic drift because these things are consuming things outside of their normal ecosystem. And they're already hippos. Everyone thinks they're big, cute animals, but they're actually vicious and carnivorous. So they start to dominate this region. And something about being in that region has caused them to start rapidly multiplying and mutating. And now we're starting to see new features, dinosaur-like stuff. I'm thinking Michael Crichton level, Jurassic Park level infestation. And they're starting to move their way forward. And now we've got mechanized combat units that have to face off against just hordes of mutated hippos. And it's lovely. World War Hippo.
It's legit, man.
World War Hippo.
Okay, you guys ready for the right answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Please. All right, everybody. Let's stop. Nick's going to talk now.
Well, I don't have an incredible name for my story yet. I'm also going with the Michael Crichton type story of an actual semi-viral outbreak. So these hippos begin to, they become like an invasive species where they are. And so the government's involved decide we're going to split them up and send each hippo to a zoo or some kind of sanctuary around the world. So that they can be cared for and go back and eventually maybe go back into the wild or whatever. But while they're at each of these places, some of the keepers and then some of the guests at some of these parks come down with symptoms of short-term memory loss. And they're not quite sure what's going on. Eventually, our hero, somebody probably named Pablo, but not Pablo Escobar, but just I'm going with a lot of like really cool ties back to the original story here. I'm going for points here.
Of the South American cocainos.
His last name has to be No Relation. Pablo No Relation.
Finally realizes that these little microcosmic outbreaks are related to where the hippos are around the world. And what he discovers is that there was some kind of bacteria that somebody put inside the DNA of these hippos that grow a sort of bacteria that releases some kind of viral thing that affects people negatively. And here's the best part and the last line of the book. It affects the hippocampus. And they knew this all along, and that's why they used hippos to spread it around the world.
I was 100% sure that's where this was going.
No, you weren't. Bullshit. You would have used it. Sure. No, that's fine. I do want to do a capybara book, Ray. That's going to be something at some point, some dangerous
capybara. I think trained capybaras would be the ultimate thieves because they can go in like through underwater access. They're like pipes and things.
I always wanted to do one where it was a giant like hamster cage, but for capybaras, and people would be thrown in there and you'd have to like run through the giant hamster wheel. Who groaned? Was that Lisa groaning at mine?
Yeah, I think
they're happy.
Yeah, something that happened 10 seconds ago.
So everybody listening has to now chime in. Which of the three I feel bad. Jim's not getting to participate, but then he's
I'm just trying to facilitate and keep all this insanity together.
Keep this train on its tracks.
He's taking notes, and then afterwards he's going to come back and be like, so did you really consider that the hippocampus controls some of the limbic system?
I better not see Nick Thacker and Jim Heskett at the bottom of a book about hippos.
You know it's coming.
I can't make any promises. Man.
Jim did make a cover with a monkey on it the other day, so...
I'm seeing a trend. I'm seeing an advantage to being the last person to go.
I am too, which is why
you guys vote for the one they remember.
You guys must have not read the fine print where I own all these stories now.
Oh,
yes.
So I think we got. It's been here 20 minutes. Want to do a couple more? Run this up to about keep it under 30 minutes.
Do it, man.
At least one more. Let's do one more.
So this one's very simple. So everybody should be able to. Going in interesting directions with this. Man told to turn down music chased neighbor with sword. No word on what the suspect was listening to before the alleged attack. Manchester, New Hampshire. A man has been accused of grabbing a 2.5 foot long, 76 centimeters, sword and chasing another man who asked him to turn down his music, police said. A man knocked on the door of Benjamin Leyland, 47, on Monday, police said. Leyland reportedly became upset and grabbed the sword. He allegedly chased the man down a hall. The man got away and there were no injuries. Leyland was charged with criminal threatening. He was scheduled to be arraigned Tuesday. It wasn't immediately known if he had a lawyer who could speak on his behalf. And this guy looks like the kind of guy who would chase a guy down the on the hall. Figure out if I can.
All right. Yeah, man, I'm going with Kevin. What was the book you wrote after Coelho Medallion?
Devil's Interval.
Devil's Interval.
You're kind of stealing. Go ahead. You're stealing. No,
if this is your idea, then if you're going to go, you better
I'll think of something new. I'll think of something new. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going with kind of a almost like mind control sort of situation where our hero is actually inadvertently being controlled by the music. Mm-hmm. There's something that's just getting into his head and making him turning him into a killer, basically. So he's not only got to not kill people in the book, but he's got to figure out who's controlling him. So he's got almost got to fight against himself in some ways.
Give you time, Kevin. You want to go last so you can come up with.
I've already got a whole new one.
Rock it.
Okay. Also, I'm thinking of a story in which somebody, we're gonna just create a mad scientist type here, has worked out how to lift memory engrams from preserved DNA and has figured out how to transmit that through window frequencies. And as an experiment, he's testing it on the populace. So he's lifted memory engrams from various samples from throughout history. Some may be famous, some are probably just average people. This particular one turns out to be somebody who died in combat, maybe 1,000 years ago or so. And when the guy listens to the music, it imprints those memory engrams on him. And he has a freak out because he is this guy from 1,000 years ago who's woken up in modern day. And he grabs the closest sword he can find and he starts attacking the freakish demons who are surrounding him. And that is going to open up for a whole new set
of very Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed.
Right on.
I like good that. Stuff. Good.
I was thinking that it's the opening chapter of a real
romance,
Born Identity type thriller. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys saw Daredevil, the newest season of Daredevil, Bullseye. All right, Bullseye had these tapes he was listening to kind of calm himself. It's kind of the opposite of what Nick said. It doesn't set him off. It keeps him calm. You know, he lived a life a long time ago. He was a Delta Force type of guy. He got wired up and he's been killing people his whole life. And now he's out and he just wants a happy life. And all he wants to do is listen to his music. And the music keeps him calm. But he's got this real pompous neighbor that just won't leave him alone. You know, it's that neighbor from the Chevy Chase movie. You know, the couple, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. That's who the neighbor is, man. The neighbor's a real pain in the ass. And all my man wants to do is listen to his music and calm his chi, you know? Unfortunately, they interrupt. They can't listen to music anymore. he grabs a sword and he gets to killing. Eventually, he'll be brought back into the Black Ops team and continue the path of righteousness. But this is just the meat cute, so to speak, for the romance.
Yeah, Ray said Manchuria Candidate. Yep, that's like I did. Denzel is definitely my my main character in mine.
No, because I have Denzel as a main character in my series, dude. You can't do that.
You got to check his schedule. He's busy.
The Washington, Denzel Washington, D.C., whatever his name is.
Right. Okay. All right, so. How'd that go? Who liked what?
I don't know. It's, I think with the time delay and me tending to forget these stories right after you say them, I can't evaluate.
I haven't given you an unforgettable story yet, Jim.
I like throwing science down on this, man.
Yeah,
you guys are impressive. This is amazing. I'm gonna do at least one more.
At least
Hippopotamus. That's his Pablopotamus. That's his name.
Pablopotamus.
Pablopotamus in the goblet of cocaine.
Pablopotamus and the I don't know, something candidate.
Here's Lynn. Lynn's trying Opium to be candidate. Nice and diplomatic to everyone, but it's obviously not correct.
All right, we're going to take the best parts of all of them, Lynn, and they're all going to have a main character.
I disagree, Lynn.
Here's at least one more, and this one I think is rife for a good conspiracy plot, but you can take it wherever you like.
All right,
truck stuffed with toilet paper catches fire on Texas interstate. It's also topical because toilet paper. A tractor trailer hauling toilet paper crashed and caught fire near Dallas early Wednesday, spilling the hot commodity all over an interstate. Mm. Hutchins, Texas. A tractor trailer hauling toilet paper crashed and caught fire near Dallas early Wednesday, spilling the hot commodity, etc. The fire shut down westbound lanes of I-20 near I-45 in Hutchins. The driver of the truck is okay, officials said. The toilet paper appeared to be large rolls typically used in stores, restaurants, and other businesses. The Texas Department of Transportation officials said the load of toilet paper burned extensively, in quotes, according to Dallas TV station WFAA. Okay, who's got a story about the flaming toilet paper?
I love, I'll give my story, but I just love the journalistic integrity of like, hey, we need a quote. So they're like, hey, what happened? They're like, well, it burned extensively.
Super burned.
Great, cool, article done.
How would you say it burned? Extensively, I would say.
Extensively covers it.
It's a widespread.
At first, it looked like it might have been moderately. But as I watched, it got extensive.
It was burning pretty good by the end there, I would say, extensively.
All right, okay. My story idea. This is a conspiracy, just like Jim said. And it kind of it's a Russian spy type conspiracy where, not an American spy trying to combat Russian. They're actually collecting DNA from this toilet paper.
It's not used toilet paper.
No, not yet. But the spy has found out that Russia has been producing this toilet paper, that this place in Hutchins has always gotten the toilet paper from.
Sure.
But he's discovered now that once it goes into the water treatment system, they're actually getting it back and they're doing DNA testing on the samples that's on the toilet paper. And so he decides he's got to go blow up the trucks.
Okay, I have a way to rescue this.
That's a name. Real shitty job.
Here's before your idea gets flushed down the toilet, I have a way to rescue that. Because nanoprobes, man. Nanites.
Are we talking about probes? DNA. When we're talking about toilet paper too?
I'm taking this where it's going. That's all I'm doing.
So the main character, Christian Grey.
Yeah.
So you little tiny Russians would know better than to sign a deal for toilet paper with some gangster from Kiev or whatever.
Linson is a little too far-fetched. Well, it's because I haven't read it yet. It would make sense. Don't worry.
All right, what you got?
What we do for a living. All right.
No. You know, I'm thinking it's all real local. You guys are taking it on a real, real macro level. I think it's all micro. All right. I think you, Jim, you said that the toilet paper was the big rolls that are usually used for restaurants and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that it's a local restaurant owner, right? And when the pandemic first broke out, he got all the toilet paper. And he knows that when things go to open up again, if there's no TP, the rest of his competition won't have anybody in there, right? So he's a maniacal person, and he's trying to take over the restaurant trade in whatever town that was.
I think you're getting ahead of yourself because people will be in there. They'll just be pissed.
Or did he hijack the supply chain?
Maybe. He's just trying to make sure that there's nobody else. He's trying to, like, you guys know Roadhouse, right? Roadhouse. Remember Brad Garrett, the guy who runs the whole town? I'm thinking of a diabolical toilet paper mastermind like Brad Garrett. All right. He's got a stash and he's not willing to share.
Okay.
There were already probes and stuff and the crappy job and the toilet paper. I don't know about that.
The Charmin initiative.
There you go.
Kevin, you already added on to Nick's story. Do you have one of your own?
I do. I'm calling mine Wiped Out in Dallas. And the idea, here's what I think. I think it wasn't actually toilet paper. I think it was rolls of paper that were going to be used in counterfeiting money.
Mm.
And it was on its way to wherever it was going to be used for that purpose. And our hero caused the fire and burned it out because he's this like lone wolf sort of hero for hire. Maybe he works for one of the alphabet law enforcement agencies or something, but he is brought in to take care of messy problems that they don't want going public and to send a message to, you know, the underworld. So maybe this was a sort of mafia operation. They were going to counterfeit a bunch of money and he took it out as a message to them. And then that's just the opening of the rest of the book. And we follow that character into a whole different story.
I like the counterfeit toilet paper roll money. That's good, man. That's legit.
There we go.
Yeah.
Burning like a truck wreck on highway to hell.
Jaime Davis saves the day by winching the truck into the river.
Lynn has redeemed herself with me now. Because last time I got caught, I think mine was called lame or something. Well, I'm going to go back.
You got caught with your pants down?
I got caught with my pants down.
All right, guys, one last story, and this is probably the craziest one.
Mm.
Let me turn off these stupid HuffPost playing things. All right. Dog found behind wheel after high-speed chase in Washington State. A very sweet pit bull was reportedly in the driver's seat after the car crashed. Her owner faces multiple charges. A Washington State man who led police on a high-speed chase on Sunday may not actually have been driving. Officers said they found the suspect's pet pit bull behind the wheel after his 1996 Buick crashed. The unidentified 51-year-old male suspect from Lakewood, Washington, is now facing several charges, including DUI, obviously, reckless driving, hit-and-run felony, eluding. The man allegedly struck two vehicles before he fled on Interstate 5. This one's a little bit longer, but there's a line I really want to get to here. One trooper reported seeing the pit bull in the driver's seat with the owner handling the steering wheel from the passenger seat. The car reportedly hit speeds of 109 miles per hour during the chase and at one point drove on a popular trail for pedestrians. State troopers eventually ended their pursuit by throwing down spike strips, but then came the shocker. Washington State Patrol Officer Heather Axteman said the driver told police that he was trying to teach his dog how to drive.
All right. Of course, right?
It was so good that RA
disappeared.
Dropped out on it. Oh man.
I guess he's not going first.
Nick, what do you say?
I was trying to come up with a title. I was bad to the bone was one of them.
Yeah, I was gonna go with a worse than
bite was another one.
Barking break.
Wow, stop punishing us, Kevin.
Pretty good.
I don't know. I'm kind of going with I don't know. I don't know yet. I can't.
Nick, knowing you, I would have assumed you would have brainstormed something about how the dog actually had a cerebral implant.
Well, I've already done the brain and the governmental, you know, conspiracy thing. I figured I'd change it up a little bit, but it turns out I don't have any other ideas besides those.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get RA back. I don't know where he went.
He's trying to teach his dog to drive. I've been trying to keep mine all in the realm of thriller, maybe a little bit of sci-fi. So maybe I should bring this around to that. I'm just going to let this one inspire me rather than try to, maybe I'll bring in the story, but okay. So, I'm going to go with a company that makes flea collars for dogs. Accidentally, the chemical that's added to the flea collar gets changed and starts affecting every animal it goes on, sort of granting them an increasing level of near human intelligence. And the animals see themselves as oppressed, right? And so they're starting to organize, and they're forcing their humans to teach them the skills they need in order to overthrow society.
My idea was really, really good. So why don't you go?
Dang, I didn't even hear the whole thing. I was thinking about genetically modified dogs like Planet of the Apes. You know what I mean? Yeah. And maybe the drunk guy in the passenger seat is like a real like Rick type of guy. You know what I mean? Rick like and Morty type of guy. Yeah, and he's experimenting and he's got these iterations of dogs that are getting smaller or smarter and smarter and smarter. And I think what's really telling is that they drove on a path that was for humans to walk on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's premeditated. The dog's going after people, man.
Yeah.
That's sentience. You know what I mean? That's evil sentience, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Wasn't that an actual Rick and Morty episode for the dog?
I don't know.
Dogs got super smart. I think it was.
It was. And then they went to a different dimension.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Built robotic bodies for themselves and they made all the humans their pets. And then they decided it was too cruel to live in a smart world. So they all went to their own world.
Perfect. Perfect. I'd riff that for sure.
All right. You got a fan. All right.
Cyber dog. There we go.
I like cyber dog. That's kind of where I was kind of going with that. I don't have much, but that was essentially what it was a dog that it wasn't really even a dog. It was more of a computer. And this guy was just trying to see if the computer had actually learned or if he needed to still control it. But I haven't really flushed it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who gets the point there, but it's just not Nick. I know that.
RA's winning in the comments. RA's got the point.
Finally.
All right, guys. Well, I'm out of stories. And I think we're more than half an hour here. And so I know everybody has stuff they got to do. I know everybody watching at home has stuff they got to do. Thanks for hanging out with me. This was really cool. This is just an experiment. Maybe this will come back. Maybe it'll come back in a different form. I don't know. We'll retool, see what the network executives have to say about it. If they want to retool
Way to
the
commit,
show.
Jim.
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah. All right, everybody.
We're not sure.
Next thing.
This was Story on the Spot. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good day.
Sweet. We'll